Feel the Lord has this word for us tonight?
Psalm 147, verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. There are many incidences, there are many happenings in life. And the result of those happenings are a broken heart. There are many times, there are many things in life, there are many ways it can take place. The wise man said that the wounded spirit, who can bear? It is much easier to patch up a broken bone. It is much easier to pack up to bind up a broken tendon or some other part of our body. And perhaps in the long run we would say it's less painful. But he says he came specifically. He said it would heal a broken heart. There are many things to break the heart. A broken home. Who can go through that? Who can go through the tearing asunder of a love that formed a bond so close, so intimate, and be unscathed? Have their heart whole. Who can go through it? There's a breaking. Regardless of how we might cover it, regardless of how we might, in fact, we have to go on in life. Death, how that has the power to break people's hearts. The loved one snatched away. And to know that that place will never be filled. Death has come and has taken away its victim. In the heart of those that remain, something's happened to it, hasn't it? Something has deeply happened to it. Somehow, that flow of life was shattered. And things will never be the same again. They will never be. And the heart suffers from it. There's another thing. Oh, how it breaks the heart. And that is sin. Sin breaks the heart. Not only of others, but our own. When light comes to cause us to see what sin is. Oh, how it can break the heart. When the light of God illuminates sin. When the light of God causes us to see what really is there, what really happened. And that will break the heart. There's so many ways that the heart can be broken. By rejection, by abandonment. When a home is broken apart. Sometimes just the little ones are rejected. Sometimes they're left. Some of the most tragic things we have seen is as just babes were left. And those wounds go so deep, so deep, so deep. Even after years, when the child's growing up, they'll come and ask, why didn't my mother love me? Why didn't my parents want me? Why did they abandon me? And it's a hard wound to heal, believe me. It's a hard wound to heal. Rejected by those who most should care and should love. They can soak up so much love and it never seems to heal. They can soak up much affection for something they knew little of. I remember one little laddie had only been with us just 2 or 3 months. And he sorrow. And a visitor came and left his motorcycle parked outside. And the little five-year-old, I think it was five, maybe only four at that time, started climbing up on the motorcycle, which would be dangerous. So the owner turned to the lad and said, "Oh, look out, dear." He said, "That might fall on you and hurt you." And the little fellow's face just illuminated with awe. And he turned to his little companion, and we heard him say, "Did you hear that? He called me dear." He couldn't believe it. Not even in words that affection would come to him. The wounds go deep, and they're hard to heal. They're hard to heal. The rejection, sickness, accidents, that can leave a life absolutely shattered. And everything from then on is different. Perhaps there's no wounding more difficult to heal, more deep than the wound of a broken heart. And yet he said that's what he would do. He would heal the broken in heart. The fountains of tears that are opened at a time like that are enormous. People will weep till they can weep no more. They'll weep in secret. Or else it goes the other way, and the fountain will be dried up so dry that not a tear can come. Not a tear can be coaxed out. As it were, they take that heart and enclose it in a box of concrete and bury it. It hurt once, I won't let it get hurt again. But either way, there's a fountain that's there. It's full of pain. It's full of sorrow and grief. Perhaps also it's full of bitterness, resentment, anger, frustration. It's a very unpleasant thing to carry around. It embitters lives, embitters homes. It creates suspicion. That heart, what was open and loving and tender, now is all closed up. And that's the way it is. It's not easily mended at all. It's very frustrating because it's so hard to heal. It's so hard to do anything about. Maybe you have a friend that's going through some such experience, and you feel so helpless to try to help them. Try to help us to do anything for them, to be able to reach through to where that real hurt is and bring any cordial, bring any ointment, bring any healing, any antibiotics that can drive away that pain that's so real there. And yet there's something strange about a broken heart. So often, it is the preparer, the conditioner of the heart to receive grace. It's a strange thing. But it so often is that which prepares the heart to receive a Savior. So often it's a means of grace. So often it's used of God. So often it's something that God will do. But I read over in Isaiah something very specific. I read in Isaiah 61 something very special. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. One of the specific charges that God gave to His Son. One of the specific ministries, and in Luke 4 you'll find He mentioned that. He took that very same passage of Scripture and said, that's why I'm here, to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the brokenhearted, to do a work of healing that no one else can do. Where's the physician that can touch it? Where's the doctor? We try to devise a method. We call it psychiatry. But psychiatrists today are confessing their failure. That's not their mission. That's not their power. That's not their prerogative. That's something they can't do. And regardless of what it was, more than one thing that has entered in and so shattered that inner being, robbed it of its confidence, robbed it of its power, robbed it of its hope, robbed it of its glory, left it broken and shattered. That is the one ministry He was specifically sent to do. Isn't that interesting? That was the one thing He's charged Him with. That wonder, Jehovah Rapha, whose nature is to heal, that's His specialty. That's His specialty when no one else can move into it. He was sent with the true remedy. He was sent with the remedies that could really work. He was a good Samaritan that could take that beaten, broken up heart that was left by the thieves and pour in the oil, pour in the wine, take full responsibility, take it to the innkeeper, and say, keep it till I return, and I'll pay you your wages. He is the one. He's the one that somehow knows just what to do about it. He says, come unto me, all you weary and heavy laden. Come unto me. I can do something about it. There is a power in Christ and a desire in Christ to reach into the inner being and set it once again until it throbs with hope and joy and light. Until once again it throbs with faith. Until once again it beats with that surety, confidence, and the healing, that wonderful healing power of Christ can move in so completely, so beautifully that all is left is a memory until not even that hurts. Until not even that will cause a pain. And then I read in my book that the day will yet come when the former things will be remembered no more. Not even remembered. Hallelujah. Won't that be glorious? Won't it be wonderful? Not even can call it to memory. The things you thought, and perhaps almost thought right, wrecked you forever. Wrecked your heart and wrecked your life and wrecked your spirit. Wrecked your attitude, wrecked everything, and left you as a man that fell amongst the thieves, lying there dying. What healing power. What amazing healing power. And how specific He was sent for that. As if God knew that there's one thing that there's no remedy on earth for. There was a group of people that when the communists came into China, they fled out the backside of China into the mountains above Burma. And they were locked there because they couldn't go out through China and they couldn't go out through Burma for quite a while, several years. And they sought the Lord, and every time they were sick, God was prophetically told them what tree to seek out or what plant. whether to cook it or boil it or eat its leaves or mash its roots. But he always gave them a remedy for their sicknesses. Every time he gave them a remedy. The herbs were given for man. We don't know them very well, but they're there. But in all of earth, there's not one remedy for the broken heart. There's not one tree. There's not one leaf. There's not one root. There's not one plant that can help it. He had to come specifically himself to heal that one. And the broken heart that sin gives us, oh, perhaps not when we were in it, and yet sometimes even then, but oh, when light comes and we see how we've so sullied and so destroyed all that was beautiful and all that was pure and all that was lovely and all that was holy. And our heart breaks under the revelation. And yet, that's when he most sweetly comes with his cordials, isn't it? That's when he comes with that healing power, that amazing healing power. That can go straight to where the injuries really are. Regardless of how long they've been there, regardless of how encrusted, regardless of how they might be buried in concrete. And he's very patient. I really said to the innkeeper, just keep him until I come again. It might take a long while. Never mind, just I'll pay all that's necessary. Just keep putting in the oil. Just keep putting in the wine. Just keep putting in the cordials. You know, the innkeeper is a type of the Holy Spirit. But the oil, as you know, is a type of the Holy Spirit also applied to the life. The wine is a type of the joy of the Spirit. Just keep putting it in, he said, till I come again. I want him to be really well. I want him to be healed fully and totally. Come unto me, all ye that weary. He's the one that can do it. God esteems those people above all others. Did you know that? See, it seems like the broken in heart are his favorite ones. Like he says he will walk with those, doesn't he? Over in the book of Isaiah, 57th chapter, 15th verse, he that dwells in a high and holy place, but where else will he be? With those that have had their hearts broken by the Holy Spirit. They're very close to the heart of God. They're very dear to him. In fact, I have the full conviction in my spirit that he's the one that had to do with the breaking of it in the first place. So that he could have the fixing of it. So that he could come with his lovely cordials. So he could come with his lovely ointment. So he could come with that beautiful oil. So he could come with that wonderful wine and just pour it in. As if it gives him joy. He will fellowship with such ones. They're the ones that are very dear to him. He appreciates that. You know, he said over in Psalm 51, that was esteemed above any sacrifice or offering, wasn't it? That to him was in high estimation. Sacrifices and offerings thou wouldst not, but a broken heart. You won't despise that. No, you'll never, never despise that. He turned away from the offerings, oh yes, from Cain's offering and from others, you'll see it through the book. But he never turned away from a broken heart, did he? From anyone that came to him like that. He was so open. He said, this is mine. This is the one I want. He has the healing power. He can take away its pain. It's amazing what that wine will do. It's almost like an opiate. Have you found that the joy of the Lord can come upon you and the things you were suffering 10 minutes before just disappear? and the heaviness or the sorrows or the threatenings or the fears. Just a good drink of the wine. Just a good giving over to the joy of the Spirit of God. And right in the midst of it, all that pain disappears. Have you ever been amazed at yourself? How much better you felt? Have you ever been amazed? Or maybe it came back. Well, of course, you may have to have more than one treatment. In fact, I think the Lord delights to give us the treatment. The healings are slow. It seems he has no hurry. But the cordials are ever present. The wine is ever present. The oil is ever present. He has healing for the pain. He has healing for the sorrow. He has healing for the sin. Oh, what a wonderful healing there is for that. It took more than oil, and it took more than wine to heal that one, didn't it? It took blood. And only a special kind. Only that which came from him himself. Only that which came from his veins. That was the only type of blood that could ever, ever be applied to a human heart. No other type. Type A, type O, type AA, or type OO. None of them would work. Only that which came from the Lamb of God. That was the blood. And oh, how it wipes out sin. Have you noticed it? Have you experienced it? Have you come heavy and sorrowful and miserable and sad? And gone away so light and free and rejoicing? For that wonderful blood, it did something so marvelous. It brought such a healing. It just took away all the smart and all the sting and all the hurt and all the pain and all the sorrow and all the shame. It just wiped it out. But that's what he came for. Our wonderful Jesus came to bring us healing for the heart. For the inner man, for the spirit of man, and a wounded spirit who can bear. No wonder our world is full of bitterness. No wonder our world is full of hatred. No wonder our world is full of wars. I was reading recently over in Lebanon, a grandmother, maybe you read it, pointed to some blood spattered on the ceiling and said to her son, "Don't ever forget that those Jews people did that." But it was done over 100 years before. And now to the third generation, this hate was being continued for what happened 100 years ago. When I was in Ireland, oh, I was so conscious of the hatred. It was taught in school. It was taught at home. They grew up hating. No wonder they have no compunction about killing and maiming and hurting. They want to hurt. For their spirit is wounded. Who can heal it? But I saw some in Ireland. I saw some that had been healed. I saw some that could stand in the holy place with hands lifted, tears in their faces, praising God. And when you talked to them afterwards, they weren't talking bitterness and hatred. So many were, you know. No, they weren't. That one that can heal a broken heart had come and had met with him and had a surgery session with him, poured in his oil and his wine, washed with his blood. And oh, what a change. What a delightful change. You see, I think it's so marvelous. In our world, There's nothing so common, nothing so hurtful, nothing so deep, nothing so destructive as a broken heart. And that's why it's so special that that was what he was sent for. That's why it's so special he was sent just for that, to heal it. What a wonderful healer he is. What a wonderful Savior, Jesus, my Lord. And he confirmed it when he came. He stood there in the synagogue in Nazareth. And he said, I am sent to heal the brokenhearted. That is what he sent for. You know, I think one of the reasons that God has allowed that, I know it's the reason that God's allowed it, is because we needed it so much. Because our heart gets so hard, and it's so deceitful, and it's so filled with iniquity, it's so full of rebellion, so full of pride. That stubborn heart of ours, it just had to be broken, didn't it? It just needed it. Just think if it hadn't been. Just think if it had been left a stone unbroken, untouched. Nothing could hurt it. Nothing could bother it. It cared about nothing except itself. It was proud and rebellious against God and man, stubborn to the ultimate. There are some such ones. There are some. Nothing would break their heart. They don't care. In the lines of one poet, I am the master of my ship. And he goes on to say, my head maybe is bloody, but it's not bowed. No, he wouldn't. No way could a heart be broken. It was a stone. But that wonderful one, when he comes to change a stone into a heart of flesh, he has his ways of letting it all broken up, doesn't he? All broken, softened. And even in the hurt, there's a softening process. He's preparing it, opening it up that it might receive grace, that it might receive faith, that it might leave its evil heart of unbelief, that it might leave its hardness and be broken by the tender mercies of the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes. Jesus comes drawing near to such ones. He makes his abode with such ones. He looks upon such ones. He said, to such a one will I look, in Isaiah 66. To such a one will I look. I will desire. I will draw near to them. They're the ones I want. The ones that have had their hearts broken. But he came to heal. And he came to heal so completely. So fully. So restore. So restore the joy. So restore the peace. So restore the love. So restore, oh hear me, the holiness that was all wrecked and destroyed. And yet, in all his restoration, he won't make it a stone. He won't make it hard. He will keep it soft and pliable and tender. In fact, he will keep it broken and always be healing it. He will never let it get like it once was. He mustn't, you know. But that's what he came for. To restore the inner being to all that he ever planned it to be. Until in that fellowship with Christ, we can walk with him. Until the things of earth just can't touch us anymore. It's not wrong to have a broken heart. It's good. It's good. God says it's good. He said, to such a one will I look. A broken and a contrite heart, that means thoroughly broken. Thoroughly broken. And yet he has such healing. So the pain is gone, and the sorrow is gone, and the heaviness is gone. The frustration is gone, the bitterness is gone. The fear is gone. He's able to restore all the peace and the rest and the joy. That's what he's come for. We need healing, don't we? First of all, we needed a breaking, didn't we? It had to be broken. I'm so glad. He said, I will wound and I will heal. I'm so glad that he didn't let it go on, just hard, hard, and harder, and harder. I'm glad he came with his mighty hammer of his word to break it, aren't you? I'm glad he comes to us, even in situation and incidences, and sees to it that our heart gets its softening process. Our heart gets its breaking process. One way or another, one with one set of circumstances, another with another set of circumstances. One in one way and one with another. But he doesn't leave us that way. He was sent with a specific mission. Heal the broken in heart. Come unto me, he said. Come unto me. All ye weary and heavy laden. Come unto me that are sick and weary. Bring unto me the sick. Bring unto me those that are broken in heart. I'll heal them. And there's no one else that can. That's why we seek after him. That's why we run after him. That's why we draw near to him over and over again, because no one else holds out to us the healing balm. Until the job is fully accomplished and the glory of the Lord fills the temple. His healing is all over. The bonds are all broken. The pains are all gone. And as I said before, until not even the memories are left. That's what he came for. Father, I pray tonight in your wonderful, wonderful name, that you will put a courage in our hearts to draw near to you. Lord, you know what some already have had to go through. And you know what things are waiting even in the future. But Lord, you've opened a fountain of healing. A wonderful fountain. Lord, you want to heal every heart. You want to heal every wound. You want to heal every sorrow. You want to heal every hurt.